Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 11th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today, knowing that you have so much more for us to learn. We ask that you would fill us with truth and understanding, that we might go forward filled with what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tagamar, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into thine mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shalt thou say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day, when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before thine eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant the prophet of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will ruin upon him, and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing ruin, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, in this particular prophecy, in Ezekiel chapter 38, there's a little distinctive description here of one nation in particular. It is a gathering together of the enemies of Yahweh to make them, to give them a last resort against the children of God. But notice here that they will ultimately be overthrown. The seer passes to the final struggle between good and evil. And that is the message that the prophet is delivering. That last final struggle between good and evil. And the triumphant establishment of the divine rule ultimately. Now I want to share with you today that it is the same struggle that is depicted in the book of Revelation, where John adopts words and phrases of Ezekiel. And if you look at Ezekiel chapter 20 and you read verses 7 through 10, you will see what I'm referring to. That final battle between good and evil is here being described as the final battle against Israel. Selected Messages, Volume 3, beginning at page 388 in paragraph 1, says this: I saw that we sensed and realized but little of the importance of the Sabbath, to what we yet should realize and know of its importance and glory. I saw we knew not what it was yet to ride upon the high places of the earth, and to be fed with the heritage of Jacob. But when the refreshing and latent rain shall come from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power, we shall know what it is to be fed with the heritage of Jacob and ride upon the high places of the earth. Then shall we see the Sabbath more in its importance and glory. But we shall not see it in all its glory and importance until the covenant of peace is made with us at the voice of God, and the pearly gates of the New Jerusalem are thrown open and swing back on their glittering hinges, and the glad and joyful voice of the lovely Jesus is heard, richer than any music that ever fell on mortal ear, bidding us to enter. We must take a firm stand that we will not reverence the first day of the week as the Sabbath, for it is not the day that we was blessed and sanctified by Jehovah. And in reverencing Sunday, we should place ourselves on the side of the great deceiver. The controversy of the Sabbath will open the subject to the people, and an opportunity will be given that the claims of the genuine Sabbath may be presented. The God-fearing, commandment-keeping people should be diligent, not only in prayer, but in action, and this will bring the truth before those who have never heard it. When the law of God has been made void and apostasy becomes a national sin, the Lord will work in behalf of his people. Their extremity will be his opportunity. He will manifest his power in behalf of his church. The Lord has enlightened us in regard to what is coming upon the earth, that we may enlighten others. And we shall not be held guiltless if we are content to sit at ease with folded hands and quibble over the matters of minor importance. The people must not be left to stumble their way along in darkness, not knowing what is before them and unprepared for the great issues that are coming. There is a work to be done for this time in fitting a people to stand in the day of trouble, and all must act their part in this work. They must be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and be so fortified by the truth that the delusions of Satan shall not be accepted by them as genuine manifestations of the power of God. It is a solemn time for God's people, but if they stand close by the bleeding side of Jesus, he will be their defense, and he will open ways that the message of light may come to the great men, to authors and lawmakers. They will have opportunities of which you do not now dream, and some of them will boldly advocate the claims of God's downtrodden law. There is now need of earnest working men and women who will seek for the salvation of souls. For Satan, as a powerful general, has taken the field, and in this last remnant of time, he is working through all conceivable methods to close the door against light that God would have come to his people. He's sweeping the whole world into his ranks. And the few who are faithful to God's requirements are the only ones who can ever withstand him. And even these he is trying to overcome. Go to God for yourselves. Pray for divine enlightenment, that you may know that you do know what is truth. That when the wonderful miracle working power shall be displayed and the enemy shall come as an angel of light, you may distinguish between the genuine work of God and the imitative work of the powers of darkness. A world is to be warned. And when the third angel's message goes forth with a loud cry, minds will be fully prepared to make decisions for and against the truth. The great change is to be made by Satan and his angels, united with evil men who will fix their destiny by making void the law of God in the face of convincing evidence from his word that is unchangeable and eternal. The very time of which the prophets have written will come, and the mighty cry of the third angel will be heard in the earth. His glory will lighten the world, and the message will triumph, but those who do not walk in its light will not triumph with it. The solemn time has come when ministers should be weeping between the porch and the altar, crying, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. Joel 2 and verse 17. It is a day when, instead of lifting up their souls in self-sufficiency, ministers and people should be confessing their sins before God and one another. The law of God is made void, and even among those who advocate its binding claims are some who break its sacred precepts. The Bible will be opened from house to house, and men and women will find access to these homes, and minds will be opened to receive the word of God. And when the crisis comes, many will be prepared to make right decisions, even in the face of the formidable difficulties that will be brought about through the deceptive miracles of Satan. Although these will confess the truth and become workers with Christ at the 11th hour, they will receive equal wages with those who have wrought through the whole day. There will be an army of steadfast believers who will stand firm as a rock through the last test. Increased light will shine upon all the grand truths of prophecy, and they will be seen in freshness and brilliancy, because the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will illuminate the whole thing. When the angel was about to unfold to Daniel the intensely interesting prophecies to be recorded for us, who are to be witnesses of their fulfillment, the angel said, "Be strong, yea, be strong." Daniel 10 and verse 19. We are to receive the very same glory that was revealed to Daniel, because it is for God's people in these last days that they may give the trumpet a certain sound. When Christ shall come the second time, the whole world will be represented by two classes, the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Preceding the great sign of the coming of the Son of Man, there will be signs and wonders in the heavens. Already sprinklings from the vials of God's wrath have been let fall upon land and sea, affecting the elements of the air. The causes of these unusual conditions are being searched for, but in vain. God has not restrained the powers of darkness from carrying forward their deadly work of vitiating the air, one of the sources of life and nutrition, with a deadly miasma. Not only is vegetable life affected, but man suffers from pestilence. These things are the results of drops from the vials of God's wrath being sprinkled on the earth, and are but faint representations of what will be in the near future. Earthquakes in various places have been felt, but these disturbances have been very limited Terrible shocks will come upon the earth, and the lordly palaces erected at great expense will certainly become heaps of ruin. The earth's crust will be rented by the outbursts of the elements concealed in the bowels of the earth. These elements, once broken loose, will sweep away the treasures of those who for years have been adding to their wealth by securing large possessions at starvation prices from those in their employ. And the religious world, too, is to be terribly shaken, for the end of all things is at hand. All society is ranging into two great classes, the obedient and the disobedient. The so-called Christian world is to be the theater of great and decisive action. Men in authority will enact laws controlling the conscience after the example of the papacy. Babylon will make all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Every nation will be involved. Of this time, John the Revelator declares, "The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewardeth you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." Revelation 18 verses 3 through 7. "These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." These have one mind. There will be a universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Thus is manifested the same arbitrary oppressive power against religious liberty, freedom to worship God according to the dictates of conscience, as was manifested by the papacy, when in the past it persecuted those who dared to refuse to conform with the religious rites and ceremonies of the Romanists. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be united in opposition to God's people all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point of issue. For in the Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth. In Revelation, we read concerning Satan, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are like the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." All things in nature and in the world at large are charged with intense earnestness. Satan, in cooperation with his angels and with evil men, will put forth every effort to gain the victory and will appear to succeed. But from this conflict, truth and righteousness will come forth triumphant in victory. And those who have believed a lie will be defeated, for the days of apostasy will be ended. This is what will be. This is what God wants us to be prepared for. To stand with Him and for Him. To not be misled or to be deceived. But to stand firmly on His side. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You continue to warn us. That in that chapter in Ezekiel today, You showed us exactly what will occur to us at our time. As it occurred to the children of Israel in their time. We ask that You would fill us with strength and understanding, that we will trust Your word implicitly and follow You closely in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 11th, 2019.